Last night at the Center for Inner Peace, I was teaching NTI 1 Timothy chapters 3 and 4, I believe. Is that correct? Yes, NTI 1 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. And I always record those teachings, and I post them on reginadonacres.com. So slowly what's happening is we're getting recordings of nearly all of the books in NTI. We skipped Matthew and Mark, but all of the other books. And last night I forgot to hit the record button. So last night I did the teaching without recording, and just as we got to the end and I said, okay, I'm going to stop the recorder now, I went and looked and I noticed it wasn't even recording. So I said, that's all right. I will just teach again tomorrow in Pal Talk. I'll teach NTI 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 4 and record. So that's what I am doing. I am reteaching. But of course, you know, it's going to come through differently today. No teaching is ever exactly the same, because a part of the teaching depends on who is present and who is listening. And today we have a different group of people that are present and listening. And so something is going to come through differently today than it did last night. During the month of June, I did a lot of traveling. We did a huge circle through Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and then back home. And when I was in Arkansas, I was in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and I did a gathering, a three-day gathering, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. But each day, the group was different. There were a few core people that were there all 3 days, but other than that, there were shifts and changes about who was there. And at the end of the gathering, one of the people that was there for all 3 days commented that each day was completely different. And I said, that's because each day there were different people here. And, you know, that's not anything that I do. First of all, I didn't know any of the people. So that's not anything that I do. But what I notice, what I can feel is the change in energy. I can feel that there's something different coming through. So the people who are present, the people who are listening, are a big part of the teaching. Because, you know, the teacher herself or himself, the teacher is an empty vessel. The teacher doesn't have any real agenda other than today I have an agenda to record the teaching of NTI 1 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4. But I don't have any agenda about what I want to teach as we read NTI 1 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4. The teaching that comes through is always completely spontaneous, and it's always for this moment. So last night's teaching and today's teaching are different because this moment is different. Who's listening is different. You could say the state of mind of the universe is literally different than last night. So I'm excited because I got to witness last night's teaching, and I also get to witness today's teaching. And I know they won't be the same, so I'm excited to see what comes. And my computer is now telling me I have to teach in 5 minutes. But I'm just going to let the computer know. I'm going to click on close and let the computer know I am aware. I'm going to just take a moment of silence before I begin. So if y'all would join me in that moment of silence, I would appreciate it. I am very grateful to be here. And I want to share a little with you about 1 Timothy itself. The objective of NTI 1 Timothy is to help us notice our attachment to the idea that I am this person right here. You know, so in my case, it would be that I am Regina. And, you know, all of the ideas that come along with that thought, you know, I'm spiritual teacher. I'm president of a church called Awakening Together. I'm a mother. I'm a homeowner. I'm a girlfriend. I'm a dog owner or master, whatever you would call that. And, you know, just on and on and on. I'm the daughter of, you know, Anita and Don. I have two step-parents. I mean, the story can just go for friggin' ever about who I am, you know, at the level of mind and the level of form. And the purpose of 1 Timothy, NTI 1 Timothy, yeah, I am now a golfer. Yay! and a four-wheeler. Oh, and Christopher won't be here either. That's okay. You know what? I'm happy with that because I am enjoying right now listening to Timothy Conway as I'm getting ready to go to Santa Barbara. So when I finish the teaching today, I will shift over to hopefully listening to Timothy Conway, and we can do that together. So it looks like it's kind of the Regina show today, but that's why I'm here, Lynn, so you don't have to deal with these things. But thanks for letting me know that Christopher won't be here. So as I was saying, you know, the purpose of NTI 1 Timothy is to, first of all, get us to notice our attachment to what it calls personhood, the idea that I am this person. It also wants us to notice the effects of our attachment to personhood. You know, and so let's talk about Regina. I'm gonna be attached to Regina because I do know her very well. So I'm gonna momentarily reattach my mind to her. And actually, I don't spend a lot of time in Regina anymore, and that is the truth. But I do remember her, and I can very quickly reattach to her energy, and in fact, already I'm feeling it. It's a little uncomfortable for me now, but I'm feeling it. Regina, as a personality, has two things that go on. One is pridefulness. There's a sense sometimes that she is better than others, smarter than others, more responsible, more efficient, more trustworthy. And then slapped right side by side to that, not as good as others, you know, in every way, just in every way. In fact, the stronger side of the Regina personality is the not as good. The weak covering over that is the better than. And as a result of this thought system that makes up the Regina personality, there's a lot of obligations. Because, you know, the thin mask must be maintained at all costs. So there's the obligation to be, you know, extremely responsible, the obligation to be extremely thoughtful and attentive to others. You know, all of these obligations, none of which have a natural feel to them. And so underneath that, there's a lot of stress that in any moment there will be failure. In any moment, one of the obligations cannot be maintained and there will be failure. And then what's going to come up is, you know, the truth about the Regina character, which is that, you know, she's the scum of the earth. And a part of this entire system that is Regina, because that's really what I see it as now, as a system. And it's a system that I no longer step into, but I can step into it for a moment just to feel it and bring it up again so I can talk about it in a very live way so I can be feeling the energy of her and speak about her. And then I'll put her aside again. But another part of this Regina system is that, you know, in order to maintain the mask, you know, one thing that Regina always needs to be doing is looking outward and judging. And there's kind of a how am I doing? It's a part of the system. It's like a background file. It's a part of the system that is running that somehow keeps the whole system working. You know, I just became a little more familiar with computers as I was going through my last month of computer challenges, and I learned about a file that I previously didn't know anything about, and I will probably speak about it somewhat ignorantly. If any of you are very true geeks or true geniuses, you'll hear my ignorance. But I have some understanding of this file. It's called the kernel. K-E-R-N-E-L. Kernel file. It's a memory file, if I understand it correctly, and it kind of integrates everything and keeps everything working together. So it's a pretty important file, this kernel file. And it runs in the background. Us normal computer users are never even aware there is a kernel file working. Well, that's the way this file in the Regina system is, the how am I doing file. How am I doing at keeping up the facade of Regina? And in order to check how I'm doing, this file is constantly looking out and judging. It looks at the looks on your faces, or it looks at the comments you're typing in the room when I can't see your faces, to judge how am I doing in keeping up the facade. You know, it looks at the to-do list. It looks at, you know, just everything. It just looks at everything around me, everything in my environment. How am I doing? And is constantly judging. Constantly judging. There's never a ceasing of the judging. And another effect of this how am I doing file is that it creates judgments. Like it may look at a person, if a part of the concern of keeping up the facade of Regina is, you know, a body in a certain proportion, a body that doesn't get too large, because too large would, screw up the facade of I'm better than, right? So if a part of that is making sure the body does not get too big, then a part of what's happening is looking out, how am I doing, and comparing this body to other bodies. It's a constant process. And so, you know, this body looks at a body like, a body that is, you know, maybe around my age, but still has, you know, pretty nice legs, pretty nice belly, and there's this, I'm not good enough that comes up. But then in order to feel better, the eyes land on another body, which is, you know, a little larger, a little looser, a little wrinklier, and says, yay, you know, I'm actually doing pretty good. And so there's this constant judgment that's going on. NTI 1 Timothy calls that the measuring stick. And it says that the measuring stick is a part of the belief that I'm a person. You see, it's a facade. And the measuring stick, the constant looking out and judging, is always going to be there as long as the belief I'm a person is there. You see, it's a part of the system. And so in order to let go of judgment, in order to let go of the measuring stick, we also have to let go of the system itself, the personhood. So the first part of NTI 1 Timothy is just to see this. To see that I cannot hold on to the belief I am Regina and let go of judgment. Because there's that kernel file, there's that background file, there's that how am I doing holding up this facade file that is constantly running, that is constantly keeping me looking outward, and constantly keeping me judging. I need to abandon the entire program. And that program is the belief that I am a person. It needs to be abandoned. Once NTI 1 Timothy helps us to see this and acknowledge this, that yes, the only way I'm really going to be free of judgment is to let go of the belief that I am a person. Then the next thing it does is it begins to give us gentle practices that move us in the direction of letting go of the belief that we're people, or that I'm a person, that I'm Regina in this particular case. So that idea weakens and dies within us. So that is my introduction to the teaching today. And as I mentioned, the teaching is going to begin at NTI 1 Timothy. We will look at chapters 3 and 4 because that's what I taught last night and didn't record. And so today we're recording it. If you have NTI and you want to follow along, we are beginning on page 375. So, beginning with NTI 1 Timothy chapter 3. The overseer of all things within the world is the one I that sees all things as they are in truth. Now, for those of you who do not have NTI in front of you right now, I just want to tell you that the word I in this sentence is capitalized. It seems to me, you know, it just came up in my mind. I don't know if it's true. It seems to me there used to be a similar term in A Course in Miracles, the spiritual I. Is that true? And that at some point in the edits, again, it kind of got taken out. Maybe it's even still in the sparkly. I might be wrong about that kind of a detail, but it seems like there was a similar term in earlier versions of A Course in Miracles. Well, if there were, it would be talking about the same thing. I don't know what you would call it. We call it Holy Spirit, I guess. Sometimes I call it intuition or wisdom. That's what it's referring to, this capital E-Y-E. The overseer of all things. It also calls it the overseer of everything, right? The overseer of all things within the world is the one capital I, E-Y-E, like an eyeball, a watcher, an observer. The overseer of all things within the world is the one I that sees all things as they are in truth. This one overseer is within you. So that you need not subject yourself to another in order to see. You must only subject yourself unto yourself. Now that's interesting. You know, you may ask, well, what does it mean, subject ourselves to another? Well, in a false way, that's what the personhood program does with the measuring stick. It is looking out. And it is comparing myself to others. It is listening to others' opinions of who I am, others' opinions of how good I am or how bad I am. It is constantly subjecting itself to the idea of other in order to uphold itself. And what this is saying is you do not need to subject yourself to another in order to see, because what you have within you is the one overseer that sees all things clearly. So instead of participating in that looking out program that's running all of the time, make a change and look inward. You don't even have to kill the kernel file, the file that says, how am I doing? That kernel file can actually continue to run. It's okay. But the direction which you are looking for the answers to that question, if you would just turn it inward, you would start getting some really helpful guidance. But when you turn it outward, you're just maintaining the personhood, maintaining the falseness, and the program has to keep running. If you turn it inward, it's going to start getting some helpful answers. Yeah, Holy Spirit's evaluation of me, Kathy. It's going to start getting some helpful answers, and eventually the program will die out. It won't need to run anymore because of the types of answers it's getting. It's going to start slowing down, and eventually it won't have to run at all. But if you keep looking outward, it's going to have to keep working. Always, 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 because it's trying to maintain that facade. So it's okay to have that program. You don't have to kill the program, but kill the direction in which it's looking. Shift the direction in which it's looking. Instead of looking out and being subject to the world as you try and check how you're doing and who you are and all of that, turn it within to the one overseer that sees all things truly, because that's right there within you, right next to that kernel file. They're so close they can hold hands. So why go to all the work to look out? Look in. So again, NTI 1 Timothy says, the overseer of all things within the world is the one eye that sees all things as they are in truth. This one overseer is within you, so that you need not subject yourself to another in order to see. You must only subject yourself unto your capital S self. Here is what I mean by that. Realize that the thinking mind, which analyzes and separates and makes judgments and rejects, is a mechanical machine that is not you. It is mechanical because it is habit and it is a machine because it was made. But it is not you, because you are not the maker of that which you made. Remember I mentioned to you all that I needed to step into Regina again so that I could describe her to you. And that was kind of a truth as my experience goes. If I didn't step back into her and get the feel of her, I wouldn't have been able to talk about her as well as I did, because she was very vague to me. So my talking about her would have been vague. I needed to step back into the program, feel the program from the inside out, and say, okay, this is what the program is like. And, you know, Sue recognized the program because she has the same program running. So when I was able to describe it with such detail, she understood that personhood program. Well, you know, that personhood program has a computer that runs the program, and that computer is called the thinking mind. And notice it says here, the thinking mind analyzes, separates, makes judgments, rejects. All of this mechanical behavior is holding up the idea of the personhood, or in my case, the idea, I am Regina. But this is saying that mechanical machine, the thinking mind, is not what we are. And because I have discovered it is not what I am able to step outside of it. I'm able to not be in the middle of it. And so when I step outside of it, which is where I live a lot of the time now, not all of the time, I'm in a process where I kind of shift back and forth. I'm still learning through contrast. But when I'm outside of it, because I'm outside of the program, the analyzing, separating, judging, rejecting that holds up personhood isn't happening. The judgment only happens when I'm inside the personhood program. When I'm outside of the personhood program, there's an accepting of all experience as glorious, an accepting of all experience as is-ing, isness is-ing, as God happening, you know, as this moment. Right? So inside the personhood program, perceiving from within, and outside of the personhood program, which the Course would call above the battlefield, is a very different way of perceiving this world, perceiving experience. Inside the personhood program is very false and illusory, delusional. Outside of the personhood program is freedom, beautiful. It's called true perception, right? So because what we are, which is really awareness, it's a great word for it. It's not a perfect word, but it's a great word for it, at least in this moment. Because what we are is awareness, we can be aware from within the program, and we're very deluded, and awareness now thinks, I am this person, and awareness now thinks, I have to keep up these false obligations, right? Or else. And awareness appears to suffer from within the program. If the peering, the peering, the watching, the observing that awareness naturally does happens from within the program, it's a completely different show than if the peering, the watching, the observing that awareness does is happening from outside the program. Both are perception, but one is a very false, illusory perception with lots of suffering and pressure, and the other is a very free, lovely, enjoying type of perception. And because we are the awareness itself, we are not required to do our observing from within the program. We are absolutely free to abandon the program and do this peering or this perceiving from outside of the program in the very free and liberated way. Because we are not the program. Now, the problem is, of course, that most people don't realize they can just step out of the program and peer without it, because they think they are the program. The belief in personhood is what that is called. But personhood is just an experience. It's something that we made. So we are free to step into it. I did step into it a moment ago in order to feel it and describe it to you. But we are also free to step out of it. Say, okay, enough of that. returning to the liberated peering, or the liberated perceiving, the liberated experiencing, the one without that program, without the personhood program. Sometimes this is referred to as being nobody, being just an open vessel, being, as NTI says, an empty shell. No program. There's just this moment. That's freedom, liberation, enlightenment. So again, 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, realize that the thinking mind, which analyzes and separates and makes judgments and rejects, is a mechanical machine that is not you. It is mechanical because it is a habit, and it is a machine because it was made. But it is not you, because you are the maker of that which you made. Step back and look closely at this thought that I share, and you will realize it is wholly true. So now what Holy Spirit is going to do is help us see that we already know, even if we claim that we don't know, we already know that we're not the person. We've always known that we're not the person. And every one of us at different points in our life had little flickers of realization that we're not the person, and we don't have to play that game. We don't have to listen to that program. So here we go at the top of page 376. Behind the mind that you think is you, behind the analyzing and belief and drama and action, there is one who observes the you that is in play. This one can watch the drama and have thoughts about it even as the drama seems to be in full play. This one, you know, is more at the core of who you are. But if you are the observer, you can also be the one, but if you are this observer, can you also be the one caught up in the drama? Well, the experience that jumps into my mind from my lifetime when I read this paragraph is an experience that happened when I was approximately 28, 29 years old. I was in the Air Force. I was living in a little town in San Angelo, Texas. Now, San Angelo is a medium-sized town. I mean, I don't know. It's a decent-sized town, I guess. It's big enough to hold them all where half the stores are empty. You know, those kind of towns. Big enough to have them all, but half the stores are empty. Downtown is dead. There's not much going on. I mean, if you have a family, it's okay because the kids are in soccer and that kind of thing. But if you're a single person, which is what I was, there's nothing to do. And then surrounding San Angelo, Texas, is what seems like hours and hours of desert. In fact, it used to be like a 3 or 3.5 hour drive to San Antonio to the nearest real mall with real stores. You know, so you're on this little island in the middle of the desert with nothing to do. And I was not on the spiritual path then. So I was looking for stuff to do to keep me happy, to keep me busy, to keep me satisfied and feeling good about myself. And it just wasn't there. And what I really started to experience was loneliness. A lot of loneliness, not a little. In fact, it got very severe at this point in my life. I spent my nights crying, having fantasies of friends from high school suddenly calling me out of the blue so that I'd have someone to talk to. I really suffered. And I remember one day in particular, I was in a McDonald's, and this McDonald's that day was very busy. And while I was waiting in line to order, people were walking by me, and it's like they didn't even see me. They were running into me. It happened, you know, 2 or 3 times. People just ran right into me like I wasn't even there. And on top of my ideas of the loneliness and the unworthiness and all of that, just this rage came up in me that was incredibly strong. And in fact, I remember thinking that I totally understand why people walk into public places with a gun and blow everybody away. You know, I wanted to. I just wanted to shoot everyone because no one loved me. No one cared about me. No one cared that I was on the face of the planet. And during this period of time, as I went deeper and deeper into this thought system, this loneliness, what appeared to be offered to me was an opportunity to cross a line. And if I crossed that line, it was a mental line, but if I crossed that line, I would go insane. I would be insane. That would be the next experience of this lifetime, insanity. But what's really interesting is how I saw that invitation. When that invitation was presented to me, I saw it not from the personality of Regina, because the personality of Regina wouldn't have seen it that way. The personality of Regina would have just continued on this thought and just crossed the line and went into insanity. I saw it, something in me shifted back, and I saw it from a further back position with an awareness, with a clarity of exactly what was happening, and a knowing that I didn't have to cross the line, that didn't have to be the choice. I didn't have to go insane. I also knew right then, with a universal wisdom, I knew that everyone who has ever gone insane had that same opportunity not to. And remember, I wasn't even on the spiritual path yet, but the universal wisdom was so clear. I knew that insanity is not something that just happens, that it's a personality program that runs. I wouldn't have had these words, but it's an opportunity that's provided. And if some people are just fully engrossed in that personality program, they just run right across that line. But I knew that it didn't have to be done. And I saw it with such clarity that I chose not to go. I chose not to cross the line. And somehow in that decision, I turned. Like I turned from walking down one road down to walking down another road. And this is, you could argue, the very beginning of my spiritual path, although it isn't the story that you hear most often. But this was around the time then that I started looking for some type of spiritual truth. And at that time, because I came out of a Christian culture, I still thought it would be found in a Christian religion that had the right interpretation of the New Testament. And so I began a very deep study of all of the religions in America with the help of a book called Religions in America, all of the Christian religions in America, and about 7 different translations of the Bible trying to find the truth. And this was a very long research project that took me to a very important step. It took me to the realization the truth wasn't going to be found in one of our traditional religions. And then, you know, maybe 5 years passed before I found A Course in Miracles. But, you know, it was the beginning of this path. It was the beginning, that clarity, that realization, that observer within me with that universal knowledge that knew I didn't have to cross that line. Something woke up. That's what this is talking about. Everybody has this in them. It's there all the time. We just ignore it. In fact, when I was telling this story last night, one of the gentlemen in the room in the Center of Inner Peace said he knew exactly what I was talking about. He remembered that from when he was a boy. Apparently when he was a boy, at least the way I understood the story as he told it, he was the one that would kind of lead his friends into doing, you know, some pretty ornery things. Like one of the things he talked about that he did was he went to somebody's house or garage or something, and got his friends to stick gum into all the locks so the person would not be able to unlock the doors when they came home. And he said he knew that even as he was, you know, about to do that, about to get all the friends together to do this little activity, there was something in him, a non-judgmental something in him, that was letting him know he didn't have to go that way. He didn't have to take that route, that there was time not to make that choice. And he also is very aware that he told it to shut up. That's what he said. He said he told it to shut up. And he says after that, there were other points where he was going deeper into, you know, what we could call delinquency, deeper into delinquency. And that same thing was letting him know, you know, you don't really have to go this way. And he said he told it to shut up. Every time it showed up in him, he told it to shut up and he went forward. And he says, as a result, I ended up becoming addicted to drugs and, you know, all of these things occurred that didn't have to happen. So this is the seer. You know, sometimes people would call this conscience, I think. But this is the seer that is a part of us. In fact, Nancy's here in the room and one of my favorite stories, I hope I don't mistell Nancy's story too much with Nancy listening, You know, whenever one person tells another person's story, there's always some mistelling to it. But one of my favorite stories is Nancy's story. Nancy talks about a time when she was at a, thank you, Nancy. If I mistell a detail, feel free to correct me. Yeah, I'm sure you know what story I'm going to tell. But she tells a story about a time when she was drunk. She was at a party. She was drunk. And I don't know, Nancy, if you're available to take the mic, maybe you just want to tell the story. You would tell it better. If you're available, I don't know where you're at. You might be at work and not available. But if you are available to take the mic, you want to take the mic? Super. Nancy, tell your story about awakening to the observer. The mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Yes, I was drunk and at a party. I think I was in my early 30s, well before a spiritual path. And I was at a party. I was standing on this person's dining room table, because that's the kind of drinker I was. I was standing on the table, and I thought I was being very clever and very cute, and I was very drunk, and I was wrestling with the hostess for another glass of rum and coke. And as I stood there on the dining room table, feeling all the effects of being drunk, all of a sudden I heard a thought went through my mind, and all it said, it was a non-judgmental observation from somewhere behind me and above. And all it said was, you are standing on the dining room table. And there was something in the quality of that thought that it was like very sober. It was not drunk at all. And I actually turned around and then looked up there and I was like, why are you not drunk? You're not drunk. And it was just amazing to me. Right there and then, I saw that it was like if you pour water or alcohol or anything liquid on something, it gets wet. And I saw right there and then that part of me could never be touched. It could never be wet. It could never be anything but that. I know, yes. No, that was it. That was my holy story. So, and I did see that, you know, I could never actually, I've never been drunk. And it makes me laugh because it doesn't mean that someone shouldn't take the keys away from me in that moment. But I did see what the truth was in that moment. And I have to say also that it wasn't the last time either that I did pick up a drink. It was maybe another year or two before I got into the 12 steps. Anyway, thanks so much, Regina. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. Of course, you did share the story, you know, better than I would have, and so I appreciate that. And in fact, what you said leads right into the next sentence in NTI 1 Timothy. It says, if you are the observer, the person in the drama must be an act. And if the person is an act, it is not you. You know, so this is kind of also, you know, what Nancy realizes. She says she realized there was a part, you know, it couldn't get wet, right? She says, I can't get drunk. That doesn't mean don't take the keys away from me. But that's what this is saying. The observer, the watcher, the awareness, right, that is beyond the personality. And that is the truth of what we are. And everyone at some point in their life, whether they're in a spiritual path or not, everyone, I'm sure, has a story like the ones I've told and Nancy told and the gentleman last night told, you know, when we became aware of it. And it was even letting us know that this personality program did not need to be played out, or it did not need to be played out in that way, right? It's this clarity that is always present. So again, NTI says behind the mind that you think is you. And I love how Nancy says she even looked, she looked behind her and up to talk to it because, you know, the personality is a program that we, you know what we do? We project our awareness into the program. We're actually always behind it. But we project our awareness into the program so it seems like we are within it. And this says, behind the mind that you think is you, behind the analyzing and belief and drama, and we could say and drunkenness, right, and action, behind all of that, behind the insanity, there is one who observes the you that is in play. This one can watch the drama and have thoughts about it, like you're on the table, or you don't need to go that way, or you don't have to cross that line. Right? This one can watch the drama and have thoughts about it, even as drama seems to be in full play. And again, in my story, in Nancy's story, and in Wayne's story last night, all three of us were in full play. I was going insane. Nancy was being drunk. Wayne was leading a team of delinquents. Right? The drama was in full play. Right, so this one can watch the drama and have thoughts about it, even as the drama seems to be in full play. This one, you know, is more at the core of who you are. If you are the observer, if you are this one, can you also be the one caught up in the drama? If you are the observer, the person in the drama must be an act. And if the person is an act, it is not you. Then NTI continues. Test this idea and watch it. You will see it is true. You can observe the person in act because the person in act is not you. So it's literally asking us, remember I told you that NTI 1 Timothy first points out, you know, that we believe we are the person. But then the next thing it does is it starts giving us practices to help us move away from that belief. And this is the first practice. Start practicing observing the person, the personality. Observe, you know, what he or she says. Observe the emotions that he or she feels. Observe the thoughts that he or she thinks. Observe the pains in the body that he or she feels. But do everything from that point of observer. Watch the show. I like to say that, you know, this world is like a movie, except it's more than 3D. It's a 4D movie, four-dimensional. And we each have a front row seat, a front row seat as an apparent person. And when we're watching this drama from within the person, or from what seems to be within the person, we not only see the drama, but we see the person's thoughts. We experience the person's emotions, right? It's a four-dimensional show. It's just that we don't usually think of it as a four-dimensional show. We think of it as this is who I am and this sucks and I'm angry, right? But if we can not project our attention so fully into it, withhold some of your attention, withhold some of your awareness, withhold some of your belief, stay back a little and realize you're watching a show and then watch. Watch not only what seems to be outside, but watch the inner movie as well. Watch the thoughts this person thinks. Watch the emotions this person feels. Watch the show as if it is a show and you're the one with the front row seat, as Jackie is saying, best seat in the house. And then NTI continues, in the same way, observe other persons in act, remembering the act is not reality. Step back, even as you seem to act, and you will see that the acting is in action, but the acting does not define you. You are beyond the acting. In this thought, you begin to grasp you. So it's saying, in addition to practicing this with yourself, remember also, even if other people are, you know, completely believing the personality program, completely acting out the wrong mind of that program, remember what's going on there. You know, remember that that's actually the play. That's the acting. Watch and watch the acting. And then look back at you and watch the acting. And the more that you stay in this role of the observer, the more you, there's this, an actual shift that's going to happen. A miracle is going to come from this practice. And the actual shift is that at some point, you won't see yourself as the person. You, whatever was invested there will naturally become uninvested. Whatever was attached there will naturally become unattached. So a natural shift will occur through this practice of observing, being the watcher, thinking of it as a movie. And go ahead, use your imagination. Imagination can be helpful in this way. Just keep reminding yourself with the imagination, I'm just watching a movie here. I'm watching the Regina show, or I'm watching the Jackie show, or the Dove show, or the Nancy show, or the Kathy show, or the Teddy show, or the Sharon show. You know, it just goes on and on and on. I'm watching a show here. And watch it. With great interest, watch, but stay with the watching. NGI continues, manage yourself well by being the observer in peace. Have faith that all that you observe and that which you see is but a stepping stone in the pool of all that is and all that you are. All that you are is beyond the observer. So it's saying this role we're taking as of observer, this role is stepping back from the personality, but it's actually, there's more back than that. We're going to go back even further before we have that spontaneous awakening of self-realization. So this is a first step. But in order to get to the final step, you take the first step, right? So we take this first step anyway, even though the watcher is still an extension of what we are rather than what we are. We're going to step into the extension. All that you are is beyond the observer, but the observer is a step in the right direction. For as observer, you begin to surrender the concept of personhood by accepting you can observe the person, so the person must not be all that you are. And that is the end of 1 Timothy chapter 3. So what I'm going to do now is move into 1 Timothy chapter 4, but something in me is saying take a little break first. So I am going to do that. I'm going to take a little break first. I'm going to take a little break by playing a song. This is a song by Kirtana, where she's talking, in this song it's called I Said That I Would Sing. I've played it recently, so some of you may be aware of it. In this song, she's talking about playing roles. It's a fantasy song, but she's talking about accepting a role and then forgetting that it was just a role and then waking up and realizing once again who she is. So it fits well with this teaching. So I'll play this song while I go get a glass of water and go to the bathroom, take a little break, and then I will be back to share NTI 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's Kirtana.
I first heard about this place, this little lump of clay, on a message board in space, about a billion stars away. The ad read floating garden orb, circling the sun. Help us build a heaven here. We need one more volunteer. So I said that I would come. I was asked when I applied, some service I could bring. I think service should be choice. So I said that I would sing. But I guess I got the job. don't mean to complain, but it's not like they described in that little classified that I read before I came. I somehow missed a turn. Was this even the right place? Had I fallen for a scam? Or was it more a fall from grace? Oh, it's beautiful, alright. How I love the desert sky. The quiet mountain lake is enough to make me cry, but I did not come prepared for the density or strife, for the cruel and inhumane injustices and pain. Can pass here for a life. So from very early on, I grew restless here because of this longing to go home. Though I could not say where home was. Truthfully, my scream, my beloved self appeared. Come to wake me from this dream. And with a diamond voice declare, home is not some distant star. Some heavenly reward that your days are marching toward with the truth of who you are. An awareness so immense, it holds all of this inside. As she spoke, my mind fell still. My tears would not subside. From the arms of grace I knew that all suffering could cease. We could rest in this embrace. We just trusted in this peace. Even try to find the words can be a sacrilegious thing. So I'd just as soon be silent. But I said that I would sing.
Isn't that a gorgeous song? And I think it's a perfect summary, you know, in its own way, in music's own way, a perfect summary of NTI Timothy chapter 3. you know, also, I hope that some of y'all are going to be coming to Santa Barbara for the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat, September 12 to 14. You know, Kirtana will be there. She will be our musician throughout the entire thing. Plus, she'll do a satsang concert for us on Saturday night. So it's really going to be wonderful. I perceive each of her songs as teachings. You know, I mean, the way that I'm teaching here is one way teaching happens. Another way that teaching happens is the presence of one who is self-realized. And that's why we've invited Timothy and Magdi for the presence. I'm sure they'll teach like I am. They'll speak as well. But the presence itself teaches. And then music is also a teaching. And so we'll have that as well. So we'll really have all three types of teachings. We'll have the speaking of words, the intellectual level. We'll have the presence, I don't know what you would call that, and the music, the soul level. The presence, the awareness level, I guess. So we'll have the intellectual level, the awareness level, and the soul level all present at the satsang retreat. So I hope y'all will come. For now, I want to continue. The second part of my assignment is to share from NTI 1 Timothy chapter 4, because that's also a part of what I did not record last night. And I think it's good that we took a little break, because in form, NTI Timothy chapter 3 would have come one day of scribing, and NTI 1 Timothy chapter 4 would have come on another day. So there would have been a break in between. There would have been an opportunity for some absorbing to have happened before the next day's scribing occurred. And in fact, I think listening to Kirtana's song was perfect, because that was a few minutes, maybe about 5 minutes of absorbing. And so now I guess we are ready to go ahead and move forward. So I'll begin sharing now from NTI 1 Timothy chapter 4 on page 376. Love thyself. And for those of you who do not have the book, that is a capital S self. So it would be the true self. Love thyself. To know thyself, you must be willing to love thyself. But to love thyself is not to love the personhood, nor is it to reject the personhood, for nothing within God can be rejected by love. Now, you may remember an hour ago when I began this teaching, I talked about the Regina program. And really, the Regina program had two main parts to it. There was the part which could be called loving the self, the little s self, the pridefulness. Right? The I'm better than other people part. That's the way the program interprets love yourself, right? which is not what this is talking about. So there's that part of the program. But then there was also the part of the program that felt very unworthy, you know, the scum of the earth, the rejection of the self. And what this paragraph is telling us is when it's asking us to love thyself, capital S, it's not talking about either of those programs. It's not talking about the pridefulness, the thinking I'm better than others. And it's not talking about the rejection of the personality. You know, what a scumbag, you know, stupid idiot, fat body, you know. It's not talking about either of those. And it's kind of important that it points out that it's not talking about either of those, because if we are still really attached to the personhood, as soon as we start thinking, okay, I'm supposed to love myself, I'm supposed to love myself. We, you know, if we're still very attached to the way the personality thinks, we think it is talking about that pridefulness side, that I'm better than others. And if we embrace that idea and we decide to do it, we're going to pull out the judgment stick and we're going to start judging everyone else down in order to build ourselves up. So it's very important that NTI, when it asks us to, you know, it tells us that in order to know thyself, you must be willing to love thyself. It also points out to us what it's not talking about. So again, the first paragraph of NTI Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, love thyself. To know thyself, you must be willing to love thyself. But to love thyself is not to love the personhood, nor is it to reject the personhood, for nothing within God can be rejected by love. So now that we know what it is not, let's find out what it is, what love thyself is. To love thyself is to love all things and all circumstances, because you know all things and all circumstances come into being through God, which is all that is. Now, the next sentence says, be grateful for the process that is God. And NTI does teach that God is a process. I'm reading right now Kabbalah. I think some of you know I've been studying Kabbalah for the last 6 weeks or so. And I'm reading Rabbi David Cooper. And one term he uses a lot is godding, right? Godding is what's happening. He doesn't refer to God as a noun. He never uses the word he and refers to God in that way. He only refers to godding. Godding is happening. He also says that God is a process. Well, that's what NTI teaches. That's the core of NTI Ephesians, is that God is a process. It is not a thing. It is not a noun. It's an ongoing process that is always happening. Eckhart Tolle refers to it as the moment now. But what Eckhart Tolle refers to as the moment now is the same thing that Rabbi David Cooper would call God. And yeah, the name of the book that I am reading right now is called God is a Verb. That's the name of the book by Rabbi David Cooper. So that is what NTI is saying, the exact same thing here. It's saying love, to love thyself is to love all things and all circumstances, because you know all things and all circumstances come into being through God, through that verb, through that process, through ising. Every single thing comes through that. And so you are that, right? You are that. The true you is that process that makes all things that are come and go, that are temporary, but you are that process. So the only way to love thyself is to love everything. If you reject anything, if you say, okay, I love, whether I'm rich or poor, I choose to love it. You know, whether I have friends or I'm alone, I choose to love it. But the healthy body. Now, a healthy body is important. And I don't accept that unhealthy bodies should happen. You're rejecting something. You're not loving thyself. This is saying everything comes from godding, from ising, from the process. And in order to really love yourself, you embrace everything. And the mind can't understand this, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not important. If you learn to embrace all things, something in you shifts where you go outside of the personality program. You know, the personality program has to keep looking out and judging, so it can't understand accepting. Because judging is what the personality program has to do. But if you accept and embrace everything, what happens is you naturally draw yourself out of the personality program so that you're now peering, awaring from outside the program, and that's what we call true perception. So you see, even though the mind can't understand this practice, and the mind is going to argue about this practice, and the mind is going to say, but there are some things that's unacceptable and just shouldn't happen. You know, God wouldn't make them happen. Again, that's still thinking more of a noun type of God than the process that actually is. I mean, we could talk about how these negative appearances come into being through a process that is God. I've talked about that before. I talked about that on Sunday morning. But that's not what I want to talk about now. That's just opening a whole nother can of worms. What I want to talk about now is the fact that the program, the personality program, has to judge. And so if you want to be lifted out of the personality program, you let go of your participation in it. You let go of your attachment to judging. And you begin to accept and embrace all things. And what happens is somehow you naturally arise out of that. And then you become the peering that is not peering from within the program. The true perception. That's the magic of loving all things, or the miracle of loving all things. And here in this house, we say a prayer before dinner, and it's kind of funny because it's a rote prayer. It's the same prayer every night, word for word. But that's because for me, it's the perfect prayer. The prayer that we say when we sit down to dinner every night is, Holy Spirit, thank you so very much for everything. But as I say that prayer, I'm not just repeating the words. What I do each evening as I say that prayer is, as I'm saying the prayer, I scan the day within my mind of all that happened. And some of those things are things that the mind would say was good, and some of those things are things that the mind would say was bad. And as I scan all of it, I say with the heart, Holy Spirit, thank you so very much for everything. You see, I'm practicing the love of everything, gratitude for everything. Leave nothing out. Don't take this one part and say, except for that part shouldn't have happened. And, you know, I shouldn't have had a headache today, or the computer should not have broken today, or, you know, whatever. It's Holy Spirit scanning the day in my mind, looking at everything that seemed to happen. And then with the heart, thank you so very much for everything. You see, this lifts us out of judgment. It lifts us out of the personality program, because the personality program has to judge. Again, to love thyself is to love all things and all circumstances, because you know all things and all circumstances come into being through God, which is all that is. Be grateful for the process that is God. In this way, you come to know with an awareness that which is God, and you come to accept and love thyself. To train yourself in godliness, be willing to rest the mind frequently. Be willing to step back and observe while remembering all that I have taught you. Remember that all circumstances come to you for your awakening, because you are the creative process that is God, and awakening is the purpose you have chosen. Now, many of us, myself included, cannot just hear a paragraph that asks us to love all things and then say, okay, I'll do it, and then start loving all things. I needed a bridge. And many of you need a bridge too. A bridge to take us from judging to loving all things. And the bridge that NTI provides is purpose. NTI says, your purpose is to awaken. And so, what Godding is doing, we often call it grace, what Godding is doing in your experience is it's bringing everything to you that's helpful to you in your awakening. Everything that you need to see to show you where you're still attached, where you're still believing, where you're still judging. It's all coming. It's all coming, but it has only one purpose. And if you use it for that one purpose, you will awaken very, very quickly. So when something comes that seems to cause you pain, be grateful. And then look within your mind to see what idea you're believing that's actually causing the experience to be painful, right? You know, do your root inquiry, your root cause inquiry. And then, you know, give your willingness to release that idea that was causing this pain. And this is how you awaken. And, you know, if these things weren't coming at you and showing you the real reason you're upset, you wouldn't be awakening. So be grateful. When your partner leaves you and you think you're suffering, but then you go within and you find the belief that you're unlovable and you needed that one to show you you're lovable, be grateful that he or she left, because now you can see that belief that you need outside confirmation that you're lovable. Remember how we started? That the personhood is always looking outside, how am I doing? And now look, you found that you were doing that too. And now you can go back within, take the mystic way, go back within. All right? Be grateful for everything. It's all here for one purpose, no matter what it looks like. And that purpose is a purpose you've decided you want. You want to awaken. That makes everything your partner in your purpose. You see, this is the bridge that helps us appreciate everything. To train yourself in godliness, Be willing to rest the mind frequently. Be willing to step back and observe while remembering all that I have taught you. Remember that all circumstances come to you for your awakening because you are the creative process that is God, and awakening is the purpose you have chosen. Look at your circumstances and remember your purpose while remembering who you are, which is that awareness, the observer, the peerer. Place your faith with your motive, or place your faith with your purpose to awaken as you look. In this way, you will be grateful for all things and all circumstances because you see them in the light of purpose. In this way, you shall always rejoice because you know there is no cause that can lead you away from rejoicing. You know, a partner leaving is not necessarily the cause of anguish. It only becomes the cause of anguish if you have a thought in your mind that judges that should not happen, or that judges I need that partner in order to feel good about myself, or something else. Absent any personality thoughts, any personality program, someone leaving is just a change. And change happens all the time in the process of Godding. It's okay, now that is over and something else is coming. And it can all be enjoyed. Verses 9 to 10. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. All things work together for God, and the purpose of God is to know thyself. Now, an awakened mind, looking through true perception, peering through true perception, sees only self. If you ask someone like Ramana Maharshi what they see, only self. And they love what they see. Because that is the purpose of God, is to know itself. To know itself in everything. And so we are fully satisfied, fully at bliss, when we know ourself in all things. And until that point, we are using all things to let go of any obstacle to seeing only self, or to knowing that all there is love. You see, that's the only real purpose that's happening here. Either we are in the experience of knowing ourself through all things, or we are in the experience of discovering what blocks that. The obstacles to love's presence, right? NTI continues, therefore, love thyself in all ways and in all circumstances, and you accept the gratitude that is in alignment with purpose. Believe all things as a message from yourself, and you teach in all circumstances that you are the one you are. When it says believe all things as a message from yourself, what that means is everything that is happening to help you awaken. Right? So, you know, if somebody tells me, you know, like I see the word scumbag. The word scumbag is landing on the board. I know that's because I used the term earlier, but let me use it now. Let's say Teddy calls me a scumbag. Says, you know, Regina, you're a scumbag. And that hurts. Let's say that hurts. That is a message to myself. It's not the message that I am a scumbag. The message is, here's a belief about yourself. How do you know that you have the belief? Because when it was said, it hurt. So go in and look at the beliefs you have about yourself. So Teddy is saying, you know, at the level of form, Regina, you're a scumbag. But the right-minded interpretation of that is through Teddy, Holy Spirit is saying, Regina, look, you still have this unworthiness belief. You say, seen rightly, seen with the right mind, even what we would call an insult, is spiritual guidance. And the way that you see with the right mind is keeping purpose out front always. If the only thing that anything is for is awakening, you will hear the right-minded interpretation of everything, even, quote, an insult. Nothing or no one will be able to hurt you. In fact, you'll begin to be excitedly embracing everything as constant guidance, guiding you to full awakening. So again, from NTI, believe all things as a message from yourself, and you teach in all circumstances that you are the one you are. Through teaching this lesson, you learn it. Through learning it, you grow to accept it. Through acceptance, you love it, and through love, you surrender to the truth that is all things. So this is describing a process of crossing a bridge, but it's a process that we all want to follow, or we wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else doing something else. Verses 15 to 16 says, make this thought your way of life. Put no purpose before me, because I am you and your only purpose is true purpose. Live in purpose for everyone and all things, for your joy is their joy, because your joy is true joy. Another teaching of both Kabbalah and NTI. In fact, I'm finding a whole lot of similarities between Kabbalah and NTI, which is funny because they're both mystical understandings of the Bible. Kabbalah is the mystical understanding of the Old Testament, and NTI, of course, is the mystical understanding of the New Testament. But I'm finding a lot of similarities. And one thing that both Kabbalah and NTI teach is that as we awaken, the entire mind awakens. You know, so as, you know, it's the same as A Course in Miracles, where it says the miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. As I awaken, there's more light in the total mind. There's a shift in the totality, right? So again, this is saying, remember that as you do this, as you live with purpose in the forefront of your mind, and you interpret everything through purpose, you are not only doing this for yourself, you are doing this for everyone. This is the greatest gift you can give. Make this thought your way of life. Put no purpose before me, Holy Spirit, because I am you and your only purpose is true purpose. Live in purpose for everyone and for all things, for your joy is their joy, because your joy is true joy. Rest within your purpose in gratitude. It is through quiet gratitude that you shall awaken unto your truth. And during prayer circle today, we were reading from the Thoughts of Awakening. And one of the thoughts that we read really echoed the same thought that we're seeing in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We were reading Thought of Awakening number 30, and this is that thought. Today is a day of gratitude. Be grateful for your brothers and grateful for your true self. There is nothing within your experience that is not of your choosing, so there is nothing for which you cannot be grateful. Everything is given for the purpose you have given it. In this way, it is a gift. Be grateful today and recognize your freedom. And as I said, our dinner time prayer here is, Holy Spirit, thank you so very much for everything. So we have two tools that we've been given today through NTI 1 Timothy chapter 4 and NTI 1 Timothy chapter 5. One tool is watching the movie of Regina, in my case, or watching the movie of Teddy, or Kathy, or Sue, or Jackie, or Sharon, etc., right? Watching the movie of. And then the second is being grateful for everything that happens, everything that unfolds, everything that comes. Be grateful for it in purpose. Either you experience it with natural joy, and that's a wonderful thing to be grateful for, or you don't. And therefore, you get to go within and look and find another obstacle to love's presence. And if awakening is your purpose, then that's another thing to be grateful for. So there is nothing that we cannot be grateful for. And that concludes my teaching of NTI 1 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4. So what I'm going to do is stop the recording.